100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's Sunday, weekly challenge, a bunch of 100 Word Stories. What's the topic? Hash. See, I don't have to ramble that much. I can just throw all that in and boom, we're ready to roll. So, who's up to bat right now? Who's ready? It's baseball season, man. Let's get going. John Musico. He's got a story on hash. What, this is too rushed? It's too quick? You need the rambling to ease you in? You need to hear me ramble about, oh, it was a great time in San Antonio. Everything's wonderful. I went shopping a bit. Good food. Of course, you know what happens when there's too much raw egg in the, what was it, Caesar salad. Oh, man, I'm so dumb when it comes to food choices. But you know how it is. So, yeah, that's fun. I figure another day or two I'll start feeling better. But until then, hey, we got ourselves a 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge here. So let's go ahead, get to John Musico. I'll fill you in on the rest. No, you don't want to hear about the rest. Let's get these stories going.
Everyone knows what spam is, by John Musico. I've always wanted to know what spam really is. The letters on the can are capitalized. What does the acronym stand for? What is spam, anyhow? So, I did some digging. One theory is that it stands for spiced ham. Problem is, it isn't really spiced. Spam contains only salt and sugar. I'd hardly call that spiced. The main ingredients are shoulder of pork and ham. S-P-A-M. That does fit. In case it throws you, yes, ham is also pork. Ham denotes that the cut comes specifically from the buttocks. Finally, the mysteries of the mystery meat have been unveiled.
Thank you, John Musico, and may everyone enjoy the spiced meat of your buttocks. What? Okay, that sounded better when I thought of it, but, can I try this again? No. Okay, we're not going to try it again. Instead, I'm going to say, I'm so sorry. Whatever. Let's move on. Jeffrey, can you help me out of this embarrassing situation? I sure hope you can.
Greetings, fellow podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher, and I've got a couple of stories on the topic of hash for week 416. My first story is called The Truest Measure of Wealth. As a child, Brendan would often eat corned beef hash for dinner. His mother would add a can of the meat, always an unhealthy color, to potatoes and onions, then sautéed it on the stove until it attained the flavor of charcoal. Brendan's father would pretend this was a gourmet meal, and the kids would pretend they enjoyed it. None of them were good actors. As Brendan grew older, he realized the best acting job was his mother's, as she never let the children know the extent of their poverty. According to her, everything the family did, from outings in the country to eating hash, was no less fine than the wealthiest nobles enjoyed. And so it was. My second story is called Lessons. Ricardo shook his head. Bobby, you've really made a hash of it this time. Good help was so hard to find. Sure, the recruits were eager to learn. They wanted to show the boss they were up to the job, and they wanted the chance to shine. So often, however, when Ricardo gave them the opportunity, they screwed up so badly that Ricardo himself was left to pick up the pieces. Such was Bobby's mess today. He had tried disposing of the body in an acid bath, succeeding only in putting numerous chemical burns on the corpse. He then tried to hack up the body, but he underestimated the strength and energy required for someone that size to fit into a bag that small. Bobby, you first start with the head. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Yay! Thank you, Jeffrey. I'll use that. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. I've just gotten off to a bad start here. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for being a jackass. You've come to expect it. All the people are like, oh my God, you're being a jackass. They're all gone. So, good. We filtered them out. If anyone is still shocked, please leave a note in the comments saying you're shocked. Make sure that you put your email address in there so that people can write you and say, what the hell are you thinking? Whoa, okay. My laundry is ready, so I'm going to go ahead and get you started on Richard while I get all my nether things into the dryers. Richard, let us tumble.
Good morning, all. Here I am with some stories for you. George, Part 53, Memories. George may have started to remember the past, but now, try as he might, all his attempts at further recollection were an abject failure. Eventually, Emily left him to it, returning after a couple of hours to check on his progress. She found George sat on the floor, his head in his hands, and surrounded by piles of crumpled up paper. It's no good. I can't remember a damn thing. I'm not even sure I ever played cricket anymore. I'm sorry. I've made a complete hash of things again. Yes, you have, smiled Emily. Never mind. Fancy a joint? My next story is called Symbolism. The Office for the Reintroduction of Forgotten Indicators, Characters and Expressions, ORIFICE for short, quietly works, unnoticed by most, to reinstate typographical nuances that might otherwise fall by the wayside. This otherwise thankless task has become a great deal simpler thanks to the internet, which has successfully catapulted some almost forgotten characters into the limelight. Consider the forward slash, the at symbol, and the ampersand, whose fates once seemed sealed. More recently, ORIFICE, working in collaboration with Twitter, has seen a resurgence of interest in the ailing hash. However, the biggest challenge still lies ahead. How to resurrect the Interrobang. And my last story this week is called The Good Stuff. Did I ever tell you about Hendrix teaching me guitar at Woodstock, the old hippie asked us, eyes glazing over and taking a long draw on the reefer? Man, you guys have the best hash. It was the hash that brought him, and many others, back every time. And we didn't mind in the slightest. We were on the verge of publishing our collaborative work, Psychedelic Psychotics. Some questioned our methodology, but it was all above board. The hash we used to mellow our subjects was really tea leaves. The poor buggers were so far gone, they never even noticed. I shall speak to you all next week. Until then, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And we will see you next week, because there is a weekly challenge next week. And every week, over and over and over, until the cows come home. Uh-oh, wait, do I hear cows? Good coffee. So I have these roll-your-own, fill-your-owns, grind-your-owns, whatever. The two little cup thingies, that adapters that you put your own in, and then you run the K-cup thingy. And the hotel had K-cup thingies, and I had these two, and I left them on my kitchen table. They had that dark magic crap for the K-cups in the hotel. Blech. Gross. Hate that stuff. Whether at work, or at home, or at play, or travel. Green Mountain, anything. Blech. Oh, sorry. Am I being mean again? Right. Instead, I should just say, how about Tom? Tom, he'll say something like a story or two.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Chelsea enters the top 80, tied with Charlie White, Craig, Mick, Tabitha, and Mike Finks. John is one story shy of entering the top 50, tied with Claire, Kolak, and Tom Merkel. Spate is one story shy of passing Fricker. He has 29 stories posted. Richard is one shy from passing TJ to become the 11th monkey. Muncie is one story shy of becoming the 5th Iron Monkey, moving ahead of Zachman. And I have two stories tonight. The first, it was a sign of the times. Of all the people Ben could have chosen to head to the special screening, his choice of me to this day puzzles me. He was, after all, Zoe's chosen boyfriend, a feat in my circle of friends of lofty success, for in the kindest of ways, she had rejected us all. Granted, I was the most sci-fi geek of us all, and most likely the one to enjoy the film the most. Kubrick's 2001 presented in full cinerama on three glorious screens. But wait, there's more. Ben had procured two opium-dipped hashish joints, spaced in space. Sorry, Dave. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship apart 44. Dinomod stared across the vermilion horizon. The compromise algorithm was running through the hash arrays. As the associated identities flashed into his consciousness, the full impact of his current situation became painfully apparent. Bastards, railed Dino. I'm so fracked. He had signed up for a song and dance mod, and somehow he ended up with a multiple personality carousel. Not somehow, someone. Win. But why? He didn't have to wait long. A secondary diagnostic slipped past his optic nerve. Wynn Corporation, Project Strike Team Alpha. After the reboot, Dino sang, "Everybody needs somebody sometimes." And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. And after the reboot here, we will all be pirates. Pirates, I tell you, yar. When is Talk Like a Pirate Day? I don't know. What? Oh, no. I prepped this week's stories already, and now I'm doing the weekly challenge. And I looked a little ahead, and I've got a whole bunch of pirate stories coming up that I need to move to, September 19th, because they'll be around Talk Like a Pirate Day, and then I'll move those stories up. You know, I got to shuffle these around so they appear at appropriate times, like all the Halloween stories and the Christmas stories and the tax season stories, which I don't have any. But I do have a bunch of stories coming up from when I got the new job and then to we know what happened. Ugh. Right. So you'll be able to suffer along with me. And speaking of suffering along, how would you like to suffer along with Serendipity? No, no, no. We all suffer together. You're not suffering because of Serendipity. Serendipity does good stories. Delivers them well, too. Not bad for one of those text-to-voice thingies. Maybe I should try one day.
You may think me old-fashioned, but I'm very much an advocate of healthy eating. So you can imagine my feelings about a new burger joint opening in the neighborhood. Right on my doorstep. Knowing my concerns, you might think it odd that I managed to get myself a job there, working in the kitchens. I had an ulterior motive, of course. The week after I started, the place was shut down permanently, after the breakfast hash browns were found to contain significant amounts of cannabis. And you should have seen what I added to the chocolate, extra thick, shakes.
Thank you, Serendipity. Hey, can you pick me up lunch? Thank you. Although, I'm not going to eat Soylent Clown today. I'm going to try to keep it good. I'm going to go to the grocery store, get a whole bunch of yogurts, get a whole bunch of soups with chicken soup, chicken rice, chicken stars, chicken noodles, chicken O's, chicken monkeys. Whatever goes in the chicken soup,
Doesn't matter. Yeah, I could put the rice in there myself. In fact, I just put some rice in the steamer. So it'll be there all day when I need it. But until then, yeah, I'm going to need cans of it. Who's next? Why, it's Cliff. Yes, that Cliff. Not the other Cliff. This Cliff. What? You wanted the other? No. You want this Cliff. Trust me. Trust me on this.
My mother knew how to stretch a dollar when making a meal. At least once a week, we had hash for supper, and we loved it. For those who don't know, hash is simply a way to use up the leftovers without it looking like leftovers. Whatever meat she had went into it, along with potatoes, some onions, and a sprinkling of spices. When Mom was away and Dad cooked, it was different. Oh, he still made hash. He was just less discriminating on the ingredients. Spam, maraschino cherries, a jar of green olives, and Flintstone vitamins for extra nutrition.
Can I come over to your place to eat, Cliff? I could use some hash. Thank you for that story. You know what I had when I was growing up? Not much. I was constantly sent to my room. You know, I would eat so quickly, because if I didn't have anything in my mouth, I would say something that would get sent to my room. Yeah, good times. Oh, speaking of having good food, there was great food there on the Riverwalk. I managed to get to Paisano's, too. The shrimp Paisano, awesome. Plus, along the water, is this perfection. Although, we didn't have Bella's. Michelino's we didn't have. We went to Little Rhine, and then that other fish place that's on the south end. And then, what was that other place? Can't remember. But all of them were really good. And I enjoyed, and the people I was with, and it was great. And thank you. Thank you to, well, I'll tell you later. It was Julie and Lisa and Craig, and it was fun. And, God, I was so tired at some point. It was like, river taxi, river taxi. I could take a river taxi right now. Instead, we're going to take a river taxi to Muncie. What are we this week? Penguins, I think? I can't remember. God, it was that good a time.
Greetings, roses. Muncie here with a story that's sure to receive your seal of approval. Your seal of approval. Now, let's do a story, shall we?
We shall.
Not Every Stat Holiday is a Good Idea, by Christopher Monroe. A lot of people called in fake sick to work that day. Like, a lot. A number of businesses didn't open at all, and those that did, mostly places that sold snack foods, were swamped by the rush of people suddenly realizing that holy shit, some chips would be good right now. The customers didn't always remember to bring money. The staff didn't always remember to take it. Billions of dollars in economic activity were lost over the course of 24 hours. Hash Wednesday was, overall, not the most productive of holidays. But it was certainly a lot of fun. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's my thing, roses. And I'll be back next week with more Seal, keeping it real, sealing the deal, and doing what I feel. Mic drop, Monroe out.
Oh, right, we're roses from the seal thing. I forgot. I was so traumatized last week that I didn't remember. Sorry, Muncie. But thank you. Was it the overlapping sounds that inspired that? It's just... Oh, man. I'm so out of it. What else? Oh, okay. Let's see. Not sure what to do next. How about we hand things off to Lizzie while I gather my thoughts? Gather ye thoughts while ye can, I suppose. Here's Lizzie and her story.
How to write something saying nothing. 1. Set your heart on blabbering randomly. I mean, writing serious stuff. 2. Spend some time browsing for inspiration. 3. Look outside the window while trying to come up with a story. 4. Squander, that is, spend even more time checking your 5 email accounts, the 10,000 social networks you sign up to, and your cat. 5. Brew coffee. 6. Hash. 7. Brew more coffee. 8. Write. You do need to write something. Now think. 9. The cat's snoring. Perhaps a nap would help you as well. 10. Okay, procrastinate indefinitely. All that coffee's begging for attention, and you don't really want to take a nap at 10 a.m. The second story. Hash can be a few things, and sure enough, it can be a lot more than I thought at first. Between cryptographic hash functions, fragment identifiers, spatial data structures, a sports mark of some sort, and even a military decoration in a running club. It was a bit difficult to choose one direction for this week's story, so after procrastinating the whole week, rattling on aimlessly seemed like a tempting option, considering that I, for some reason, didn't want to write about hashish. Wait a second. What? 100? Really? Already? Well then, more next week. Where's the delete button again? These were my stories for this week. Not really stories, just kind of venting. A writer's frustrating lack of inspiration. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com for stories that make a little more sense than what I just read. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, no, you don't need to make sense. You can have all the fun you want here, all the whimsy, all the random. You don't even have to use the topic. You could just say, it was inspired by it. And then just go in some random direction, like you did. Thank you, Lizzie. What did I mutter? Don't you dare hit rewind. Don't you dare hit rewind. I'm going to drink my coffee. I've got orange juice, too, in case I need more acid in my stomach. All right, what's the timer at? 17 minutes to go before I probably need to run my jeans through the dryer again. I did all the math. It's actually cheaper to use a laundry room than actually have to constantly repair a washer and dryer. Cool, huh? Although, for the amount that I do, I suppose. The amount that you do, you may wind up doing 10 billion articles of clothing, but you probably dry clean them, you fancy pants. Speaking of fancy pants, the man with the fanciest pants of all is Spate. Let's hear what he has this week.
Hey, this is Spate. My story this week is called Hash. And here it is. You say to a man when he tells you that for his last meal on earth he wants corned beef hash straight from a can, cold? Do you ask him if he wants a side of brown bread? Maybe some ketchup? Warden was baffled. He had encountered other odd final requests, the usual gluttonous excess, but a can of Hormel? Cruel and unusual. He pensively rubbed his sandpaper chin. Well, fuck, Warden, Davidson spat while sprawled hairy-ass naked in his cement cell. Why should I carry the memory of a pleasant taste on that stainless steel ride?
Thank you, Spate. Ooh, that was a great stainless steel ride. The stainless-y steelest of all. Did I say that right? I hope so. What? Oh, we've got some... Oh, cool. All right, so we've got an issue here. I said, remember back when Seeker Ray came back? And I was like, oh, someone new, Seeker Ray. And I couldn't even pronounce their name right. And they were like, oh, my God, I was here before. I was like, oh, shit. I felt like such an ass. But I didn't. Did I apologize? I hope I didn't, because I'm such an ass. And they posted up something about, you know, it's kind of cool not to be remembered, because only bad people get remembered in meanies, like trolls and critics and such, which is true. Which is true. I've got a little bottle of ketchup here to remind me. A gift. A gift from a morning meal that involved a small bottle of ketchup. I can't believe they made ketchup bottles this size. Why do they make ketchup bottles this size? Why not just give people packets? Packets are, you know, wrong, but the bottle this size? Really? Really? Do we have to have bottles that small? Are we so messed up? Okay. So the next person? Dionysus Close. Oh, great. Now I gotta remember if he's been here before. God, I would remember that name. That's a pretty cool name to remember, right? But I'm so dimwit. Anyway, if you've been here before, welcome and back. And if you haven't, well, welcome to the podcast. And let's just listen to the story before I say something stupid.
Hello, this is Dionysus Close. And here's my story for April 13th on the topic of hash. The world rolled up under the moon, a space. Turkle tossed, slovenly and sleepless in his rack. He turned under the tepid, hazy gaze of the moon through the port, articulated. 18 days waiting. The feeling of waiting. The feeling of feeling the feeling of waiting. The next day was like the rest, but different. There was something in the dust outside. A ray, he said. From immense distance, right under my nose. The feeling. Outside, inside. Up, down, around. The echo of a long-forgotten... Long? Music from somewhere playing. A dancer. Mark. Another unknown message sent. The end. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Dionysus, and hopefully you don't get all Seeker Ray on me for, oh, but I was here before, and you said I was wonderful and unforgettable, and okay, I forget things. I'm not that good at remembering. That's why Tom keeps all of his monkeys things, and I used to keep track of all the people that were here, and then it got... The list was way too long, which might be a good thing, like lots of people have participated, but it might be a bad thing. Lots of people have given up on this. I obsess on that a lot, don't I? I try not to. I'm not obsessed with any numbers or stats or victory conditions. You know what victory is? You getting to express yourself and trying something new and writing, maybe even writing more, and then you seeking out your own victory conditions. Or just not losing conditions. Life is like one of those coin-operated video games. Put coins in, put coins in, put coins in. You die eventually. So, it's all about the ride. It's all about the dash between the beginning number and the ending number that they put on the tombstone, that they put in the paper, that they put on the urn, that they put on that biodegradable whatever they turn your ashes into. You know, well, you can be a butt plug for your lover forever. Until they die, and then they can become a butt plug, and I don't know. Diamonds and weird-ass stuff. Man, we're a strange species. You know what's stranger? Julie. What an intro, huh? By the way, hi, Julie. Where are those small bottles of ketchup? Here she is.
Oh, hey, everyone. It's Julie. There's not going to be... any music, just a 100-word story that I wrote sitting at, well, last night, actually with Lawrence and Lisa sitting there, which is kind of weird. So this is one that I'm particularly happy about sharing with all of you. And it's a push on the theme of hash, but I was encouraged to write this by Lawrence and Lisa anyway and share it with y'all. And here we go. Johnny liked Legos. He built bridges and parks for his Power Rangers to play in. After September 11th, Johnny built towers, tall ones, reaching up to the Powerpuff Girl ceiling fan in his room. He didn't have toy airplanes, so he used the fancy dinosaur figurines from the Museum of Natural History. Bang! Crash! Towers down, orange and red Legos tumbling down. The cat spatted around the pieces. I walked into the room, kneeling down on the floor. Mom, in my adventure, all the mommies and daddies and pink Power Rangers get home to their kids. No more TV. Hashtag sad about 9/11 and media overdose. Okay, everyone, I'm really tired. This is Julie and my blog, which I hate shamelessly plugging, but I will shamelessly plug anyway, is musepalace.wordpress.com. And thank you all for listening, and peace out. See y'all next week. Take care.
Yay, she plugged the site because I can't remember to type it in every time. I get a copy-pasted from somewhere. So thank you, Julie. And by the way, we were all at San Antonio. It was great, although that last day my stomach just gave up. And, oh, man, the raw eggs in the Caesar salad. I need to be less stupid. Okay, folks? Usually there's someone there that remembers and says, why are you eating that? But when I'm off on my own, stupid happens. At least I didn't have anything overly spicy. I should just, we'll just sweep that under the rug and move on. I never did get a sombrero. Maybe I'll pick one up from a cheap-ass shop in the Galleria this afternoon. Yeah, right. I'm going to watch baseball shopping. I'm just going to go get groceries. Then baseball comes on. My laundry will be done. I should probably get some replacement flowers because some of them died when I was gone. Hey, could you water the flowers? I'm going to get a garden weasel, rip everything up in that flower bed, maybe hit some electrical cables, and then try again. Maybe bigger, deeper, because they die slower. So here's, speaking of bigger, deeper, oh yeah, our favorite porn star, Danny. Was that right?
Ah, we're recording. Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. And please visit me in my attempts at writing at Danny Dwyer. .wordpress.com. So, here is my entry for this week's challenge, Weekly Challenge 416, Hash. Mitch Hash House Harrier was crouching behind the stadium clubhouse, smoking a large piece of hash from his favorite pipe, before he went to work placing the hash marks on the football field for the New York Giants. Mitch was too high to realize he placed the hash marks parallel to the field goals. Later that day, while eating hash and eggs, while watching the football game at Roofie's Diner, Mitch noticed people on the sidelines kept getting injured every time a team tried to score a touchdown. Now unemployed, Mitch went to the bathroom to smoke another bowl of hash. And I hope you enjoyed that again. Come visit me, DannyDwyer.wordpress.com.
Thank you, Danny. You and Julie just got the shameless plugs in there. Beautifully. That's how you do it. Because if I don't put in a link or I screw up the link, People hear it. If they don't read the show notes, if they don't do the comments, they still hear it and they think, maybe I should try going there. And people, we should. We should go on a journey, an adventure together throughout people's sites. You think that would be a good idea? I think so. So I'm looking through the NBA here. I just realized, where are the New Jersey Nets? They're in Brooklyn now. They call themselves the Brooklyn Nets. I was like, whoa, that scared me. Toronto Raptors. Again, New Toronto existed. Charlotte was the Hornets. Then they moved. And then they moved to New Orleans. And they moved to Oklahoma City. Then Oklahoma City moved back. And Oklahoma City got their own. So the Charlotte Bobcats came up. And now they're going to get their Hornets name back. The Orlando Magic? Okay. Oklahoma City Thunder. So it was the Hornets, then the Thunder, then the... I don't know. And then, there was one more. New Orleans is now the Pelicans. I saw Pelicans, and I was like, what the... And the Memphis Grizzlies, that was Vancouver, which was a new one. It's so screwed up. You know what else is screwed up? I should just say, hey, it's time for Norval Joe. That's not screwed up at all, actually. Well, here's Norval Joe. Let's have a listen to him.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 416 with a prompt of hash. I've recently set up my recording booth again. I felt like I was getting a weird kind of echo in the background, and I want to try recording a story for Scribble.com, which is a new site for selling audiobooks and ebooks together. Having just finished my third edit of Flypaper Boy Coming of Age and feeling like it's ready to start promoting in its honor, I have a 100-word story in the Flypaper Boy universe. Here's my story. Wallamus Pander, revered matriarch of the Women's Trade Federation, reclined her first-class seat on Flight 1386 from Paris to Atlanta. She considered the actions of Esmeralda Flinch, who recently positioned herself as successor to the WTF president.
"Flinch would make a hash of the Federation,"
Wallamus muttered, and vowed to circumvent Esmeralda's machinations as soon as she got home. Unfortunately, an inappropriate joke by in-flight entertainment man caused the passengers to rush the cockpit and attack the pilot. As the jet plummeted toward the Atlantic, Wallamus realized it was she who had made a hash of it all. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Inappropriate in-flight entertainment man. I bet you he uses some stories from here. Mostly mine. Thank you, Norval Joe, and congratulations on Flypaper Boy. Let me know when it's in print so that I can send you lots of money for you to sign it, and I can put it on my shelf and proudly display it. Well, no one ever visits here. But I'll be proud about displaying it. Anyone else have stuff that I can get signed and put in my shelf? I feel like building up my collection. My collection, you say? So, okay. Thank you, Norval Joe. Let's see. Zachman? Okay. My laundry alarm went off, so I've got to go move things around, grab some stuff, maybe put more quarters in the record machine. But still, Zachman is here. So you can enjoy Zachman. I'm going to go get that done. But I'll enjoy him when I get back. How's that?
We emptied a house of walkers because it had off-grid solar panels. The last inhabitant must have taken all the plants, which is fine for me. I'd much rather grow vegetables under those heat lamps. Wade found some Eau de Death, Doan heat scent, and hashish. I asked him not to smoke it. I also reminded him which was the Doan heat scent. Wade insisted on going with the scavenging party. Upon returning, Beth practiced what she learned in psychology as she mended Wade's pants, but all I could do was dress the buck and wonder how satyrs are made.
Dude, I want to have what you're smoking. And, oh, wait, I can't thank you just yet because you've got another story. Okay, hold on. I'm going to get the other one lined up here. And go!
We are doing a survey to see how well our ads work. Have you seen our current Twitter-inspired ad? Asked the man with the clipboard. The young woman replied, the one that goes, #, we are idiots whose children told us Twitter existed. #, buy our crappy product. #, we think you're at least as gullible as your parents. #, we are too clueless to know that saying #, so many times is totally annoying. That's a yes? And would you say our ad is memorable? She replied, I remember the ad, but what does your company sell?
What does your company sell? What does Zachman sell? He sells love and enjoyment and mirth and confusion. Thank you for all of those. They were delicious. Speaking of delicious, we have Tura coming up next. Delicious Tura. Oh, how I crave thine imagination and the products. What's the next word? Thereof. I'm not a poet. Here's Tura. Enjoy. I won't ramble much more.
The story is called #. At God. Boring. #, peace and quiet. At God, let there be light. #, creation. At God, water, land, grass, trees, the moving creature that hath life. #, creation. At God, isn't this great? Hello? No one here, must fix that. #, creation. At Adam, at God, what's all this? #, Garden of Eden. At Eve, at Adam, who are you? #, Garden of Eden. At God, at Adam, at Eve, what do you think? Follow at God and you'll live here forever. #, Garden of Eden. At Serpent, at Eve, trust me, unfollow that guy. Have an apple. #, tempt, tempt. At Eve, scream, we're naked. #, Garden of Eden. At Adam, at Eve, a talking snake told you? Were you born yesterday? Oh. #, Garden of Eden. At God. At Adam. At Eve. Out. #, gotcha. At God. At fiery angel. And don't let them back. #, peace and quiet.
Thank you, Tura. If that was hard to follow anyone, just go to the show notes, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. You'll see. And just, man, sometimes it feels like that on Twitter sometimes. But the Library of Congress has it all, so you can go to their site, too. Thank you, Tura. What? Oh, there's more? Oh, wait. Today is the last day for the Orchid Show at the Grand Hall in the Museum of Natural Sciences here in Houston. Okay, I'm a member of one of them, I think. No, that's the art museum. So once they all die and become art, then I'll go see it. And I need to go see the Magritte at the Menil. I thought I was going to see him last week because I had Monday afternoon and all of Tuesday off, but whoops, they're closed on those days. So I'm going to go see it on Thursday or Friday. Who's next? Oh, Sing is next. So, oh, you're in for a treat. Settle back and enjoy the latest of Madam Yogi, all that stuff. Maybe he throws in a monkey. We'll see. Trust me on this. When it's all said and done, he's probably going to glue them all together, put them up on a site, and just sit back and for a few hours, way better than anything on Netflix. except for House of Cards. That's awesome. But it comes close. It comes close.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 30 continued. In this installment, Margot, yes, back in the village, has an encounter with a snake whisperer. The morning brought a handful of dangling fictions. Battalions of snakes had crawled up from the Ganga. Others saw cobras flying from the moon. Fire snakes had emerged from the smoking oven. The ghosts of the Naga kingdoms were here for vengeance. Atul found Margot at Kamal Devi's. She told what happened.
"Don't worry, madam. I'll bring the Guniya. He speaks to snakes and calls them out. I'll bring him here."
He went with Yudi, yapping behind, returning with an old man, his castless sweeper neighbour. Mahadevan sat outside the madam's hut. The Guniya threw rice grains at the door slab and went into a shaking body trance. The snake mantra came rushing up through him. Om cha am cha im cha am cha Om cha am cha im cha am cha 108 times and then again. A crowd arrived, including the pujari. The Guniya spoke in trance.
"Who put the sack? I can see you here."
No one stepped up. Gradually, the snakes began to appear from under the gap beneath the door of planks. At first, their heads with flickering tongues, then bodies slithering away among the muddy clothes. The priest was tense. He didn't like the Guniya, a casteless sweeper intoning mantras meant for Brahmins.
"Go do your work," the pujari said. "There's nothing here, just jadu, magic. Hurry up, stop standing there. You've all seen snakes. They are rife this time of year."
Meanwhile, the Guniya could see through him in all dimensions while he connected with the Nagas, coaxing them to leave the woman, someone of truth, not like this priest trapped inside his skull of power. Old enemies, Dalits, Brahmins, and smiled to see the crowd not thinning until the show was well over. Mahadevan, snake whisperer, snapped back, slumping forward, spent as a limp cloth doll. Before the madam could restrain Atul, he had marched up to his madam's door with Yudi and opened it. So Margot, following, called out, "Atul, be careful." He found the empty fertilizer sack and nothing more. No snake in sight, not even a frog. She stepped, and Yudi rushed to lap up leftover milk. She handed money to Atul for the snake man.
"No, Madam G, not necessary.
Surely his family could use this."
"You are offending, Madam. No need at all."
So she joined her palms and humbly bowed to him.
"Leave, Atul. I need to take a bath."
She thanked him. "Take Yudi and go play." Closing the door, she looked again for snakes and, finding none, sat and breathed relief. Soon she was bucket bathing at the back, then changing into Indian cambric cotton. She regretted she had gone to the funeral in bright colours. Far worse had been her dead neighbour doing those odd jobs for her when Yogi left. This had fed the gossip. Plus, she had never bonded with the women in this natter village with male-female sidelines. Had she brought this evil eye on herself? She kept to herself, but village life sped up between the monsoon showers. Atul told her,
Nag Panchami is coming.
It was the day when snakes were venerated by new wives. Atul knew from Didi, his married sister.
A careless son chopped up three male cobras while ploughing earth. The Naga goddess mother went and killed the son and all his brothers. His young wife prayed to Nagamata in Nagaloka, seventh realm under the ground. She offered a bowl of milk for her husband's life. Nagamata accepted, granting her wish. That's why the ladies worship with white flowers.
That's interesting, Atul, said his madam. It's Lady Power Day. Huh, we pray for men.
Yes, Madam G, husbands and us brothers. Nagas have powers. If any are unhappy, they will bite, or they bring wealth also.
So many customs rose like ornate blossoms from the body of this land. Atul confirmed.
The ladies are now stringing jasmine malas, making rice paste and decorating anthills, painting them red with kumkum, placing garlands. And every doorstep will have a five-headed naga in coloured patterns. We call that rangoli.
Flickering through her Mahabharata book, Maga said,
Huh, I think there's another story.
Well, it's time for your reading practice, Madam said, passing him her Mahabharata copy. They were sitting in her hut out of the rain. He began.
A torch lit up Kandava forest, killing Takshaka's serpent wife. Thus Krishna and Arjuna ended the Naga queen's right to life. Revenge is a burning forest. 12 years after the great war, Arjuna's grandson, Parikshit, gaining the throne, had a fatal flaw. While hunting in another forest, the thirsty king saw a seated sage who didn't move when asked for water. Parikshit burned up with rage. He hung a dead snake on the shoulder of the meditating forest Brahmin with blissful mind in Brahmaloka. Parikshit realized his sin, but it was done. The Brahmin's son, also hot-tempered, uttered a verse, The Kuru king will die by snake bite. Arjuna's line will suffer the curse. Takshaka, the king of cobras, took birth again and bit the king, who foamed and died. The next in line was boiling like a volcanic spring. Young Raja Janamajaya performed a yagna with sacred fire to kill the serpents of the world. It became the Naga's funeral pyre. Snakes flew into the fire pit, almost until the last, the Naga king coiled around the foot of Indra, dragging them both as restless cling. Astika, son of the fire priest, said, Stop it, Dad. It will be the end of heaven and earth if Indra burns. They ceased and saw Indra ascend and the Naga king go under earth. Astika received a boon, a mantra for controlling snakes on Nag Panchami, fifth day of the moon. Perhaps the mantra calms the cobra, a blessing given to humankind. Where exactly is Nagaloka? Inside the earth? Or the angry mind?
Night of fasting, day of the snake, puja, mantras, five hooded naga drawn on walls above doors. On this day, earth cannot be dug, red anthills get libations of milk for the king of all cobras. Snake wallers on bicycles, cobra baskets, wearing pythons, young sari wives wave trees of lights. Lean close to fangs, place jasmine, champa, white lotus, incense, garlands, sweet rice kheer, pourings of milk. The earth balances on the hood of Sheshnag. Deep down in the ocean, Vishnu sleeps upon his coils. No one today has fear of snakes for one day of the year. The monsoon rains had passed. The sun came out. Margot kept aloof from the celebrations, taking Yellow Yudi to the Ganga. He was yapping, disturbed by the snake commotion. Atul kept lookout. The coffee-coloured waves were rising still. "Bapu Mahadevan, he cleared your house of snakes," Atul began. She nodded. "He is coming this way, see?" Soon he was sitting. "Namaste," he said. She was happy he had come to join them. She returned the greeting. Then Atul spoke at length with the older man. Then Atul reported, Mahadevan began to share with Madam. He didn't like the snake charmer fellows. They starve their snakes so they will gorge on milk. Bapu says snakes die, the milk is poison. Atul translated Bapu's love for the Naga. How the head and tail are good and bad together, the start and ending of the universe. He told how no one understood a snake. Snakes brought out fear in the human heart. Few looked there, confronting weaknesses. She was surprised. The flowers and milk and snake basket wallahs wearing pythons were opportunists who had no gyan, no wisdom. They are dead souls inside, Bapu says. Please ask why he's telling this, Atul. I'm grateful, but I'm not sure why he's come when other villagers clearly seem to hate me. Atul tried to be the bridge between them, but as he talked, she saw the water well in his child eyes. Because nobody here will be helping you, Madam G, just us. The little boy choked on words and paused, upset. But he's praying to the Nagas to protect you. He says you're good, madam, but times are bad. She was upset and held back downpour tears and grabbed and hugged the little one to her. Later on, they walked to madam's hut. Bapu assured her she was safe from Nagas. His mantra was protecting the whole place, though he couldn't save from the human kind that planted their sacks of serpents. Still, they plugged the holes in the walls with plastic bags and put a strip at the bottom of the door to keep out frogs, and then they left at dusk. Mercy's heart went searching for her yogi, wondering why he hadn't been in touch. On this day, new wives pray for husbands, and that is what she did all night to Shiva. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. For more of my work, check out my website at chrismooneysingh.com or follow the link in the program notes. See you next week.
Sing for that ride into adventure, that ride through adventure. We see adventure in our rearview mirror. We turn around and go back to adventure. Except for Planet Z, who needs to, you know. They got their own adventures. We're going to listen to them, and then we're going to wrap this up, get it all put into GarageBand, get it all wookie-wookied. You're going to love it. Okay, I'm gonna keep doing it this way. It takes longer. Who cares? Whatever. I've got laundry done. What am I in a rush for? It's only 10:20 anyway, right? So here's Planet Z.
Our days are numbered. So are the lunch specials at the Chinese place down the street. This makes choosing what to eat for lunch easy. Just pick the special that matches up with the day. The place has been open for years, and I expect that it will be open for years to come. But when the day comes that they close down for good, or the place burns up in a fire, I know my number is up. Until then, I've got my table there, and it's coming up on noon. Hungry? Up for Chinese? Good, because I'm buying.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of hash, all 100 words, a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of stories. I hope you enjoyed. The text is up at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com, where you can subscribe, social network plus, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, share it with random people, share it on the street. Just share, share alike, or just share it with the other people who are in here. And just, we'll keep it all a secret. No one has to know. I don't even know. What were we talking about? But the next topic is going to be cool. So go ahead and get right to it. I've got a list of all the upcoming topics up on the site in the post that comes up with the topic, blah, 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 blah. In the corner it says the topic. That topic, 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 topic. Just, maybe the topic should be topic. I'm going to add that to the list when I'm done here. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. Thank you for being you. You. And you are the ones who make this possible, even though I'm the one who jams all the files together and plays with this crap and click and, oh crap, I forgot something. So that's it. And as always, keep it brief.